Well, the last few weeks I've been teaching on some pretty heavy subjects. We preached Come to Jesus Before It's Too Late. Then I talked about generational curses. And then I talked about honoring father and mother so it would be well with you. And last time, if you wonder why these buckets are up here, one bucket is life and one bucket is death. Those are words that come out of our mouth. And we either speak words of life, and which we call gems, and then words of death, which are rocks, because God says He judges every word that comes out of our mouth. So we're either speaking life or death, and of course it's important that we speak life. And it's not just practicing to do that. It's asking the power of God to come in us and change our heart. We talked about that. In order to speak life, there really has to be a heart change. It's not just a matter of watching what you say. It's a matter of your heart. And so that's important. But today I'm going to talk about something. A lot of times we talk about serving God, and a lot of times we're talking about doing God's will on this earth, and all of that's important. Because very simply, the Bible says, number one, that God loves us, and that's the reason He put us on this earth. He wanted a people He could love, and He wanted people that would love Him. That was His purpose. And then also, He said that I'm going to give man the authority on the earth. I want man to manage the earth. I want man to rule the earth. And so that's one of the reasons that Jesus had to come as a man, because eventually Jesus is going to rule this world, as we know, from Israel, from Jerusalem. And even when He makes a new heaven and a new earth, Jesus the man, as well as God, will be in charge of this earth and the universe and everything that God has created. And besides that, God has then designated us, to, in a sense, if you want to put it this way, to be under rulers, or rulers under Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, Jesus is in heaven today at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, because we are here under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to be rulers of this earth, because this earth was never designed to operate without Jesus Christ. Nothing really works on this earth without the rule of Christ. Nothing works in Washington without the rule of Christ, and that's why that's a mess. None of us can do anything, really, and even find, as Judy was saying, the desires of our heart without Christ. It's impossible. It can't be done. So we have a situation here where God loves us. He wants us to love Him back. He wants us to do His work, but the work is to be done out of love. That's the issue. And so we can do all of these things for Christ, but if we don't have the love flowing back and forth from the Lord to us and us to the Lord, then it's never going to accomplish what it was designed to accomplish on this earth. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because I don't think I've ever really talked about this in this way, and I think it's time, because God is preparing His people for some very special things in these last days. Because we are in the last days. It's obvious from all the things we see and what the Word of God says. And, what I'm going to talk about today is designed basically for Christians, because Christ says that even salvation is because of love. Even salvation is because of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so, many times, though, we sense a distance between us and God. And I'm going to talk about this because a lot of people get tied up in religion because they just can't seem to come to that relationship with God that the Bible speaks about. And I'm going to talk about how to do that. And very simply, the Bible talks about Christ as being ahead of the body. It's called the head of the body. He's also called a husband of a wife. It's a very interesting way that it's put in the Bible. Jesus Christ is not only the ruler of everything, he has the authority over everything, but he's also called the husband of a wife. And that's very interesting and very important, we're going to talk about. He's also called the God in the temple. He's all of those things. But I want to talk about now this relationship between Christ and his church as a husband who has a loving relationship with his wife. Now, if you can love God, the real test of the Christian life is, if you can love God through everything, you have passed the test. If you can love God when it's going good, when you can love God when it's not going so well, if you can love God when the economy is not as good as it should be, if you can love God in difficulties in life and losing a job and all these things, if you can love God through those, then you've passed the test. Or if you're listening to me, say amen. Now, so, well, the things you go through in life are not necessarily all caused by God, but God can use those to test you in your love for Him. And He does. So, we are called to bring the love of God to this lost world, to lost people, to Christians. The love of God is eternal. We are to show the love of God, particularly in His church. Particularly in His church. Now, that's why Satan attacks the church, attacks people in the church, causes all kinds of confusion, because the church is to have an eternal love, not only for Jesus Christ, but for each other. Now, how do we do that? The Bible says very simply, we are to seek God. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about seeking God and His love on a daily basis. Let's look in Psalms 53 and verse 2. I hope you brought your Bible because we're going to use it several times. Psalm 53 and verse 2. If you read the Bible, you'll constantly find one theme throughout the entire Bible, and that's the love of God. Okay, Psalm 53 and verse 2. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men. Now, when it says men, it means women, it means children, it means His creation, human beings. When God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, to see if there were any that were seeking God. So God is constantly looking down for those to be seeking Him. Now, this is not only for salvation, this is also for Him as the lover of our soul. In many cases, we've failed in programs, we've failed in ideas, and even in our own life, because we are not seeking God consistently on a daily basis to find Him. Now, many people are afraid of God. Now, I'm talking about Christians. Many people are afraid to get too close to God because they don't want God to know what they're really like on a daily basis. Now, I'm sure that's not anybody here. But the issue is that God already knows. In fact, He already knew before He brought you to salvation. He knew everything about you, past, present, future. He knew everything you were going to say, everything you were going to do, everything you were going to think. God knew all of those things, and He sought you anyway. But those who understand this relationship between yourself and God will be seeking Him on a daily basis. That's what the Word of God says. Yes, we've been saved. Yes, we've come to God. Yes, we have prayed the prayer. Yes, we have got a change in our spirit. But are we seeking God on a daily basis? Now, the ones that are seeking Him understand that He is our only hope in this life. They understand that He is our only hope in this life, regardless of what we're going through. Now, I want you to look at the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. And we're going to look at this today because the Song of Solomon, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I am going to go through. It's right after Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 1. And I'm going to read this because this is a story of a woman seeking her husband. She's in love with her husband. Okay? Now, it says, chapter 3, verse 1, Song of Solomon. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loved. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways, and I will seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw you him whom my soul loves? It was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loved. I held on to him. I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her who conceived me. Now that's an interesting story, but what he's really talking about here is what Christ and His church. Now, the woman in this story is the church. Her husband is Christ. And so this is a story of how the church and the individuals that make up the church should be seeking God. And that's what this is all about. Now, this is kind of a picture of the bride that's a church looking for Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the Christian life. She said, on my bed night after night, I sought him and who my soul loves. Obviously, he wasn't in the home at that time. And where is he now? He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven making intercession for us. And we are married to him. The ceremony hasn't taken place yet, but we're actually engaged. And if you would study the Jewish traditions, you would find out that when somebody became engaged to another person, that was the same as marriage. Only the only thing about it was there hadn't been intimacy yet, but obviously they're waiting for that and seeking that and seeking the love of the other person. And sometimes that would go on for a year, the engagement period, and then they'd have the marriage ceremony and the consummation of the marriage. And so it's kind of like Jesus is in heaven and we're seeking him and we're here on the earth and we're longing for him because the Bible says he first loved us. And so we are looking forward to that time. We are seeking him. We want to be in his presence. We want to know him on an intimate, loving, trusting basis. Now, the true seeking of God is born out of love. And some people think if you follow certain rules, everything is okay. But that's not really true. Following rules is fine, and serving the Lord is good. And praying for the sick is good, and we talk about it all the time, and we teach it. And praying for deliverance is wonderful. And all of these things were great, but nothing takes the place of a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. And we must keep this in mind, because I think some people serve God in a way to kind of stay a hand's length from Him so they don't get too close, because they know there's some things in their life that He wouldn't approve of. And even the Apostle Paul was not perfect, so Christ, if He was looking for perfection, He would have had to go someplace else. Are you listening to me? We should be striving for perfection. There's a part of us that is perfection. There's a part of us that's truly holy, 100%, and that's our spirit if we know Jesus Christ. But what I'm talking about is a soul relationship to God. It's already, in a sense, been consummated in our spirit, but in our soul is where we should be seeking the Lord. And like I say, it's not a discipline, but it's a desire for God is what it is. So we must seek Him, for this is what love does. If you love something, you seek that thing. If you love a person, you seek that person. If you thought about, and hopefully you've had this experience, and if you haven't, you will have it with Jesus, so just wait a little while. It will take place. But there should be, hopefully, sometime in our life, there's somebody that we just can't do without. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about relationship now. That's what I'm talking about. A lot of people have works, but they don't have a daily relationship. And we'll talk about it tonight, but most of that's going to be burned up. The only way you can truly please God is have works with a relationship to Him. Now, works without God is called religion. And there's a lot of that going on. Way too much. To be the truth, if I ever hated anything, it's probably religion. If it's okay. I really do. I can't stand it, because I know it keeps people from Jesus. Because there's this deception that somehow you can do a bunch of stuff for God, and that takes place in a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it's a deception. It's a deception. It's not true. Some people say, oh yes, so you ask them, oh yes, I know the Lord. I found Him back so and so. And it was 20, 30 years ago, and I was a child and I found Him. And I'd love to just real quick ask them, but you got to be a little nicer than this usually. What's your relationship with Him now? You know, you have to build a relationship before you can ask somebody what their relationship is with God now. You have to really care for that person and be concerned about that person, and that's it. The truth really is, Jesus found us before we ever found Him. Are you listening to me? I wish people could understand this. Some people are so proud that they found Jesus Christ. I have news. He ran you down and tackled you, or you would have never come to Him. Are you listening to me? I always say people have to trip over Jesus to get into hell. Because He loves people that much. I don't care who they are. You see. And so the whole issue is He's found us, and now we are to find Him. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about in a daily life, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's almost like a marriage. Okay, you have the ceremony and you get married. You might even consummate the marriage. And then you say, well, I'm going to be gone for a year. I hope everything's going to be all right. That's what some people do. It really do. They just kind of leave that whole thing, live their life, and then at the end of it say, here I come, Jesus. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I hope you're listening today. I'm listening. I'm listening to what I preach. I'm preaching to myself. It's amazing. I listen to myself on the radio and I get something out of my own message. I said, I didn't remember saying that. And it isn't because I'm so great. You know, every once in a while, God speaks through me and I say, thank you, Lord. That's the whole issue. That's the whole issue. And if he does, it blesses me. You understand what I'm saying? God can speak through a rock. It's no big deal. Not these over here, I hope. So the issue is, you know, when you get married, that's just the beginning. How many know that? I mean, a lot of times you really don't know the other person that well, and you certainly haven't slept with them night after night and saw them in the morning when they get up and all of that stuff. And you have to learn about them. Somebody was said, you know, this guy, he had a habit. He'd been a bachelor, I guess, for a period of time. And, you know, he had this habit that when he undressed at night, he just took off his clothes and threw them in the middle of the floor. Of course, you don't know anybody like that. I used to walk in my daughter's room and do a quick about face and said, I can't stand this, and close the door, if you know what I mean. I didn't think it was possible to destroy a room as quickly as she could and put it back together also about as quick. It was an amazing thing to me. It was a miracle of God, really, is what it was. Yeah, right. Throw that stuff over the bed. That's right. But, you know, there's so much to learn about Jesus. We'll be learning for eternity. When we get to heaven, it'll be just the beginning. And we will be amazed. I don't think they have days there. It's just no time. But the issue is that it'll be a total just beginning of learning about Him, because you'll never be able to exhaust the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so it's just going to be the beginning. It's going to be a wonderful thing. It's going to be so exciting to learn more of Him. We get a little glimpse down here. We see through a glass darkly. There's much more to learn. And I think when we stand before Him, we're going to realize there was a whole lot we were supposed to learn here. We kind of missed it because we didn't realize that it's not only knowing the Word, it's not only working for Him, it's knowing Him. I don't think I can say that enough times. It's knowing Him in an intimate way, in a loving way, in a way of the soul, the way of the emotions, and all of those things. I'm going to tell you something about a guy named Moses. You know Moses? He had an interesting thing to say at the end of his life. He lived to be 120 years old. He served Jesus for about 40 years. And there's very interesting scripture in the Bible. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 24. You know, I've heard... I'm not making fun of anybody, but, you know, I've heard people say, Oh, I know Jesus, you know, he just, and act like they've know it all, and when they get to heaven, they'll probably be teaching Jesus how wonderful he is. You ever been around anybody like that? Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 24. And this is at the end of Moses' life. And here's what he said. O Lord God, thou hast begun to show your servant your greatness. This is at the end of his life. Lord, you've just begun to show me your greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth who can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I'm here to tell you, you've only seen a small part of God's glory thus far. Just a small part of God's glory. Probably couldn't handle if he saw it all at once, to be honest with you. But the point is, we're to be see a little more of his glory and a little more of his glory and a little more of his glory, and then we're going to bask in his glory when we're with him. That's the way it works. But we're going to see more and more and more and more. And God wants you to see more of him. God wants you to be closer to him. God wants you to be to learn of him as you would learn of a wife or a husband or somebody over a period of time. And you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. You can almost tell people that really have a love for each other because as they get toward the ends of their life, they're almost look alike. You're not going there, huh? Betty said you'd have to be bald look like Jim. But that's true. That's true. Have you ever seen anybody like that? I mean, it's almost like they're walking in step, and I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, it's like they're in the military or something. They take the same steps and they think alike, and they don't even have to say anything to each other to know what the other person's thinking because they know them, and that's the way our relationship should be with Jesus. And a lot of this is through prayer, and we'll talk about that sometimes, but people said, oh no, listen, I don't want to hear about prayer. That's because you're not doing much of it. Are you listening to me? I didn't get an amen on that. Okay, now, let's go to Philippians 3:10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. And there's no way I'm going to finish this today. So we'll do part of it today and part of it next Sunday. Because I have a prayer I want you to pray that I think would be very good. I try to end every series with prayer, certain prayers, so that we can engage in what the Word of God is saying. Philippians 3 and verse 10. This is what Paul said. And this was not at the beginning of his ministry either. This is what Paul said. Probably more towards the end of his life. That I may know him. That word know is an intimate knowledge of Jesus, like two lovers. That I may know him intimately, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means, excuse me, I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. So our lifetime after we're saved should be a lifetime of getting to know Jesus Christ. Yes, it's important to get to know his word. Yes, it's important to serve him. But it's important to know him. I'm not talking about salvation. Know him intimately on a daily basis. To get so close to Jesus Christ, you'll start thinking like him. You'll start acting like him. You will start saying the same things he does. And the lost world is going to think you're nuts. But, you know, anybody that's madly in love with somebody, everybody else thinks, man, they're a little far gone here. Particularly if you don't experience that kind of relationship yourself, you're going to think they're really weird. You know, you can't stand to be away from their presence. You just, if you're away from their presence, you got to call them and you're figuring out what time they're going to get off work so you can be with them, and when's their day off so you can spend time with them, and when you're going to get together, and you want to spend all the time you can so you stretch it so you don't get so much sleep because you want more time with them. Are you listening to me? This is the kind of relationship the Word of God says that we are to have with Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm trying to get you to fall in love with Jesus Christ. This should be our attitude. If you had that kind of an attitude, I'm going to tell you right now, there wouldn't be any divorces. Are you listening to me? And I'm not putting down people that are divorced. Not one ounce. And I'm not one of these that thinks people who have been divorced can't do anything for God. I don't believe that nonsense. God can rebuild anybody's life for good. And God can use anybody. He can turn stones into bread. God can do these things. And God can rehabilitate. In fact, some of the people that have been the worst, God, they end up being the best as far as Jesus is concerned, because they desire Him and they know that it has to be Him or it's not going to work. If you've had a lot of failures, you know it's only going to work with Jesus Christ. Now, this should be, I'm going to tell you something, this is really blasphemy. Your relationship and love relationship with Jesus is more important than the Word of God. It's more important than doing things for Jesus. It's more important than anything. Man, it got quiet in here. All those things are important, but not as important as the relationship with Jesus. So if there's anything we ought to be perfecting, it should be that. It's more important than intellectual knowledge. It's more important than experience. It's more important than any of those things. Our relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing should take the place of the longing of our soul for Jesus Christ. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the point is, if you don't have that kind of relationship with Jesus, ask for it. If you don't have that kind of relationship, ask God to fill you with His love. There's nothing wrong with asking Him for His love to so flow in you that it's going to flow back to Him. It's His love in the first place. Love comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It comes from the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And it's probably harder for the guys than it is for the gals. Because women usually don't have any problem with the emotional part of it. Men have a little more of a problem sometimes. But God can override all of that business. We should have a general, you know, we ought to hunger for Jesus like we hunger for food. And some people, chocolate. I'm one of them. I like that chocolate. But we ought to hunger for Jesus as we hunger for food. That's why, you know, that's why people say, some people say, I'm not going to eat until I pray. Some people say, I'm not going to have breakfast till I've been in the Word of God that talks about the one I love. You understand what I'm saying? What you're doing when you, the minute you open your eyes, you've got a day with Jesus Christ. This is the way you're going to look at it. I'm going to have a day with the one I love. Yes, I'm going to work. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to do all the routine stuff. I'm going to do all of this. that I'm going to, in prayer, I'm going to communicate, I'm going to be in touch with the one I love and loves me beyond anything I can imagine, beyond this world, into eternity. And His name is Jesus. You see. She said, night after night I long for Him. Religion wasn't going to satisfy her. Doing things for Him was not going to satisfy her. She wanted Him. You know, it's very interesting. Religion's just not going to get it done. You know, there's a lot of people in Islam now are beginning to be disillusioned in it because they do all this stuff, but they have no relationship. Their God is a God that does what He wants to. There's no love in the thing at all. And you don't go to their, quote, paradise unless their God is in the right mood and decides it's okay when you die. What kind of a God is that? There's a lot of people in Islam giving it up, disillusioned with it, because it's religion that keeps them away from God. And they're coming to Jesus in by the hundreds and the thousands in Islamic countries. Many of them are dying because they kill Christians there. But the issue is they'd rather die and not miss Jesus Christ. You see. He's the only one that knows what you've gone through and what you're going through. Now listen to me. He's the only one that knows besides yourself. He knows. And He says, come to Me. Come to Me. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you life. He's the only one that can. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man ever comes to the Father but by Me. Religion is designed to keep people. Religion is from the devil, and he designed it to keep people blinded to the truth of the love of Jesus. And there's so many hundreds of thousands and millions of people in this world who are blinded by religion. We're not interested in religion. We're interested in Christianity. That's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're interested in. The world doesn't understand it. A lot of people don't understand it. And that's okay. We know what we understand. And so we're going to come for Him. Now, the problem is Islam, there's no love. The problem of religion is no love. You don't have to love your brother or anything else to be religious. You have to go through the rituals. That's all you have to do. You have to go to their meetings. You have to bow at the right time. You have to. You can even be baptized and all this stuff. And it will not satisfy your soul. Now, the Word of God says, I sought Him whom my soul loves. I sought Him but did not find Him. And the reason is, God is not on the surface. You have to dig for God. He has designed it that way. It's like mining for gold and mining for silver. He is in the secret place. The Word of God says that. You have to go to the secret place of God. You have to go to the place of prayer. Look in Psalm 91, verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. I'm going to quit in a minute because we got the Lord's Supper. I'll finish this next time. But I want you to go to Psalm 91. There's a lady, I haven't read this, but there's a lady who's written a book on Psalm 91. And she says it has been her life. Well, here it is, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler, the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You won't be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day, and so on. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come near you. But I want to get down to the end of this. And it says in verse 14, here's the whole thing. Because he has set his love upon me. I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. And God says, "It's his. He has set his love upon you." And I'm here to tell you, God doesn't want to be away from you. I said, God doesn't want to be away from you. He's not up there. It was the Father's choice, and the Father's going to tell him when to come. And I'm telling you this, he is ready to come. He wants to come. He desires his bride. He desires you. He desires his church. He wants to be with you forever. He is longing to be with you. And so we now need to be seeking and desiring and longing to be with him. We're to learn of him. We're to know of him. We are to communicate with him in prayer. We are to spend time with the Lord. It is being in his word, and that's important, but to know him, to know him, to know him. Just like you had a love for another person, didn't want to be away from them. You wanted to do things with them. Didn't make any difference if you were at McDonald's or you were at Giovanni's. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference if you're inside or outside. You want to be with him. It doesn't make any difference what's going on in your life. You want to be with him because he desires to be with you. He said he has set his love up on you. Nobody here can say they're not loved in Jesus Christ. Somebody said, "Oh, nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me." I know one. I know one. I want to know more. But I know of him and I know some about him. But I want to know more. And that should be our relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop right there today. I'm going to finish this next time. We're going to pray.